I'm Adam.
I guess I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jeremy.
And this is Mechanical Masonry.
Record. I'm pressing X to pay respects.
Okay, you paid your respects.
It wasn't even subtle. It says press X to pay. Like, guys, I'm going to make joke.
Joke.
Well, that's like, it's like when you shoot the boss at the end, it's like,
what the fuck?
By the way, spoiler alert.
Everyone knows that.
Too late.
No, not people who... Dude, there are people in the Steam forums who are like, hey, so is Ground Zeroes a good starting point for Metal Gear Solid?
What the fuck?
No, not even Ground Zeroes. They're like, is Phantom Pain a good starting point? And it's just like, sure. Just skip all the other story bits.
Just go watch episode 2 of Star Wars and then go in whatever order you feel like. It'll work out fine.
Oh my god.
Well, to be fair, Metal Gear Solid's story isn't exactly linear.
No, it has two halves. You have 1, 2, 4, and then 3, Peace Walker, 5.
Yeah. But it's not exactly, like, an easy to follow. Like, you can't just be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Dude, there's still shit I don't know about the story.
Well, yeah.
So it's not... I know it's not easy to follow, but I'm pretty sure you can tell when a character is dead.
Can you, though?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes, Psychomantis is dead. He had an episode
Christ.
6, like, episode 6 death. Like, when Darth Vader's, like, there, and, like he's being hauled up, and he, like, his mask is off. That's Psychomantis' death scene. He's being held up, and he's just like, oh, Snake, I always loved you. It's like,
okay. Yeah, in reality, Snake is Psychomantis' son, okay.
Obviously.
Obviously, Plissken is the Force clone. And he will come back in the Phantom Pain as a small baby child.
Jeez. Get out of here. You weirdo.
I'm sorry you don't like the name Plissken.
Plissken. Iroquois Plissken. Nah. Like, what? Like, out of all the names to be, like,
it'd
inconspicuous
be
with,
like,
it's like Iroquois Plissken.
No,
like.
It'd be funny if he's just like De Niro.
Or Nero.
You mean from DMC4?
No.
Which is
getting a special
edition remix with Virgil? It's just like, Capcom, take my... Ah!
Or, it's like that fucking part in the Him Daisy comic where it's like, yeah, my name's Jack. And then, like, Ocelot's like, it's cool, I guess.
Just like, what's your name? It's like, Bob. Billington. Bob Jones.
So, MGS5 is doing something kind of different from all the other MGSs.
Not Peace Walker.
Oh, right. What?
Peace Walker's kind... Yeah. Peace Walker follows the Monster Hunter idea of open world.
And what about the card game?
Card game that America never got?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I consider MGS5 to be like an expansion on the idea of Portable Ops, because Portable Ops... okay, Portable Ops... Plus had a campaign called Infinity Mode, which didn't have a story, but it was basically an expansion pack game where it's like Infinity Mode, mission 1, boom, random area, go pick up guys, leave. Mission 2, boom, random area, go pick up guys, leave, and like stealth around.
Yeah, but like, I mean, in a lot of open world games, like, even though like the expansion for Portable Ops was like open world technically, and it like did its best to kind of simulate that, I don't think it's, like, it's truly can be, like, considered an open-world game. Like, if we look at MGS5, I think it's a really good example of an open-world game because the game says, there is your objective, go at it however you want.
Well, no.
Fuck right, you did that. Okay, I'm kidding.
You
just
like,
continue.
You, like, pick that. Your whole... You still pick missions.
Yeah, but,
yeah,
like...
So, and then it drops you off in the general biome.
Well, like, it cuts out, like, an area of the map where, like, this is the mission area.
Out of this... No,
yeah.
That's when you start the mission, not when you're free roaming.
Well, yeah, but I'm still saying, like, once you, like, actually, like, start a mission with an objective, it's still, like, a big chunk of the map. Like, you can approach it however you want. The game's not gonna be like, okay, now it's a helicopter part, like, or get in the truck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just,
like... even MGS3 had a lot of, like... You go through this area. Like, you can approach it however you want, but it still was, like...
Yeah, it was still linear.
Specified, like... directed area.
Well then, like, I don't know, like, what would be called, like, linearity, because I mean, like, sure, you could, like, approach this however you want, but in the end it's still gonna give you the same result. Like,
that's open freedom.
That's not open world, per se.
Well, open like world is the freedom to move. The freedom to explore terrain, not to change terrain.
Okay.
Explain that again.
Open world is the freedom to explore terrain rather than to change terrain.
Like changes and like move.
Changes and like change the effects of the world and change what happens.
Okay.
A player can't. It's also kind of like the idea of a linear game.
Well, but, like, even in, like, in linear games, you have, like, it's very set. Like, everything is...
Yeah.
Basically anything, or... basically everything and anything that happens to the player is a set piece.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that linear games, like, have going for them is that they can be very, like, story-focused and have, like, a strong message behind it. Trying to, like, convince the player of something or trying to make them, like, feel the same as the character.
Yeah, they're
the
very...
Like, well, yeah, like... They're very planned out. It's almost like not to like compare video games to movie, but it's like a movie where it's like, yeah, I want the people watching to feel these set of like emotions and like feelings. Like this part is gonna be a chase scene, and you're gonna be like feeling the stress of like jumping over tables and shit.
Yeah, because linear games are more directed, while open world games are usually not directed. But that's not always the case. Like Red Dead Redemption still had scenes that were directed and missions that were kind of narrow. But it was still an open-world game.
Yeah. It's interesting to have that, though. Like, in a lot of open-world games, you have a lot of instances where a mission will be... Like, you'll be roaming around, and then you'll go to a mission, and then it'll kind of take you out of it.
Yeah.
And it'll take away that open-world space and kind of, like, funnel you into this linear, like, planned out.
Yeah, there are a few games that don't do that, and I think those would be the Far Cry games. All of them.
Yeah, well...
I think Far Cry 3 is a bit of a deviation from that.
Is it? It still gave you... It was like, okay, Far Cry 3, the weed-burning mission was like, here's a plot of weed, go burn it. And I was like, okay, from the doc's house, I gotta take a car. And it still gave me the whole map to get there. I could go get four towers and then head to the weed-burning mission. That was, and Far Cry 1... You didn't play Far Cry 1, did you?
No, I didn't.
Far Cry 1 was, let's go into Terrain Editor with CryEngine, make a huge map for, like, 2000, 2001, I think it came out, with mountains and valleys and everything, and said, go to this base in the middle. And I was like, I wonder what I can do. And I took a boat. It took me 15 minutes to get around the island. And at no point did I reach out of bounds.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Because Far Cry 1 was just like, there is map, there is base, go.
Yeah, which I, like, I feel that... Like
sometimes I approached it from the wrong angle too.
Yeah,
I approached it from the wrong angle and I got caught in like geometry, because you can literally go from the mission from any angle and never like forced you into a narrow path of here, take this corridor into the base. I could like jump off of a mountain into the base. So
that's interesting. I mean, like, I think some of the games that are praised for being some of the best open world games are obviously by Bethesda. You know, Skyrim, Fallout. A lot of premier.
Would you consider Dragon Alliance 2 open world?
I played the Dragon Alliance that, like, Dragon Alliance Online.
Oh no, that's horrible! That's not a Dragon Alliance game.
Yeah,
Dragon
Alliance
2 gave you a map of squares, like 12 by 12, and there were sectors where the objectives were, but you could still move your men around the squares of the map, and each square was like a different battle zone. Like environment,
so it was like an overworld map, and then if you
yeah,
go
and
into
then you
a
could
battle,
go to each
it
square
it
of the
expands.
Overworld map, yeah,
and each like 1/12 of that was like an actual map you like played on, right?
Yeah, like an actual like battle area.
No, but I
like bigger than an XCOM map.
Part of the open world game that I think has been defined by a lot of stuff is that the player in a way creates their own character.
I think it creates their own journey.
Yeah.
Because I created my own journey in Red Dead, but I didn't create John Marston.
Like, if I were to look at Skyrim or Fallout.
Sure.
Just as an example.
Well, those are open world RPGs. You play the role of your character.
Okay. That's true. But yeah, like, in those games, like, there's a part of, like, development. Or not, I shouldn't say, like, character development, but there's part. The player has to experience, like, there's a lot of stuff that you can do in Red Dead that isn't kind of related to John Marston.
Yeah.
And like, you could just, like, go into town or something and start shooting sheriffs.
Exactly.
Like.
And that really isn't John Marston's journey. That's your experience in the game. And that's you developing some kind of relationship with the game, and like
yeah.
influencing it in a way that the story couldn't influence it otherwise.
Yes.
And I would say that that is like a really main facet of an open world game.
Yeah.
If you, as like a player,
well,
can't...
Well, even then, I'd question that, because Dishonored is an open world, but I still had the same thing where I had an experience, yeah. multiple experiences with that game, where I'd build a relationship, and I'd say it's one of the best games.
But, like, have you... You, like... A lot of it goes back to, like, the idea of an open world game. You want to be able to explore, learn a lot of the lore, and then... Or, I mean, not necessarily
just
learn...
Just, like, learn...
Lore, but, yeah, learn something about yeah. the world, and then be able to relate it to somebody else.
Sure. Wait, to relate, yeah. wait.
Well,
relate
like, relate it in
else.
That, like, if you were to talk to somebody and be like, yo, like, this
oh,
happened
yeah,
to me, and they'd
okay,
be like,
yeah.
oh, snap, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Dog?
Yeah. I think that was Far Cry 2, and what the appeal for me was, especially since all the weapons, because it was like, there are so many different factors
yeah.
in Far Cry 2, and
yeah.
it really allowed for a sense of freedom.
Yeah, and, like, there was, like, in a lot of open-world games, there's so much content in it, and that one person's journey, while they will have... a lot of the same experiences, there will always be that, like, off section where one player chooses to go and the other player chooses to go another way.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then they'll be able to, like, tell these stories back to each other, and that the one player won't be able to say, like, oh, yeah, I had that exact same experience.
But again, in a
like,
linear game, I know you guys didn't play it, Call of War as Gunslinger, you touched it for, like,
yeah,
two,
I
like,
played,
3
played,
hours.
Like, how many missions?
Dr. Pepper back there.
Yeah,
yeah, you played until, like, they're, like, half the game of that. And I think you can attest to that. Call of Juarez Gunslinger is a linear-ass game, but
oh, yeah.
there are choices in your perks and your weapons and how you use the weapons and perks, and that you'll never have the same story. Like, I'd be like, oh, dude, I was using a sniper rifle and I shot dynamite and killed 5 dudes, and you'd be like, oh, I used the most powerful revolver and got a double kill headshot. And it's still a linear game. Like, here is corridor, here mm-hmm. is corridor.
But yeah, but like, it, like, Call of Juarez, if we, like... The reason that it wouldn't be defined as an open world game is, yes, it does have the element of creating an own, like your own character within the character. It wouldn't be an open world game because it's not an open world. Like
yeah.
you can't.
So
open world
like
limitations
cannot be defined by experience.
No, but I think that's part of it.
Well,
there's no one definition. Well, like there's player experience that relates to the character, but is
I think it strengthens an open world, but it's not an inherent trait.
I mean, like I don't know. You can. We would say, like, if Skyrim didn't have its whole, like, randomized dungeon thing, even though, like, I didn't...
Those are random?
I didn't really
well,
notice it, like...
It's randomized to the idea that...
It's scaled to you, that's...
Yeah, the like, the idea of it being random is, or quote-unquote random, is that some of the quests will send the quest marker to a random dungeon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
a lot
okay.
of the dungeons are
right.
set up to
just
facilitate
be, yeah.
multiple quests.
But, like,
oh,
I don't know, like...
That's lazy.
They're, like... You can sort of, like, oh, like, getting to that dungeon, yeah, because, like, it's an open world, and, like, different things can happen in an RPG, and, like, oh, yeah, I had this experience, like, I met this, like, merchant, but, like, once you get to the dungeon, it's like, oh, yeah, like, I went
oh, yeah,
to the
remember that time I killed some dudes? You're like, yeah, I killed some dudes,
but, like,
too.
It's like, no, even if you're, like, playing, like, a mage, and I'm playing a warrior, like, it's gonna be like, oh, yeah, I fought some skeletons in this square room, I had to jump this ledge, I got to the chest, opened it up, and, like, booked it back to, like, my fancy crib with, like,
yeah,
my
well,
companions
like,
or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
hookers and blow.
But, like, so, like, there's this sort of, like,
my Lydia
tortilla
yeah.
to, like, use Reverend, like, fucking Anthony Birch's fucking horrible, like, metaphor. Is, like, sure, like, you can, like, do all of this, like, so-called, like, linear stuff, but once you actually get there, it's basically the same. And, like, he pointed out in, like, the infamous game, like you pretty much, like, oh, yeah, I just, like, shoot people with, like, lightning, but, like, to get there, I could, like, jump bridges or, like, ride cars or something, like...
Yeah,
so like you get this, like, world to sort of, like, jump around, and I'm not saying, like, Skyrim did this, like, Skyrim actually pulled this off really well, like, getting to places was fun, but, like, that's what I feel about Red Dead. It's like, oh yeah, I could, like, ride my horse to somewhere, but then it's like, oh yeah, well, eventually I'm gonna have to go into that same cave everyone else did and,
yeah.
and do a bunch of, like, you know, like, twitch shooting mechanic
Red Dead, it's like, oh, I could ride my horse there, or I could ride my horse there, or
exactly.
I could pay somebody to ride my horse yeah. there, or I could walk my horse there.
Like, I don't, like, the dungeon thing with Skyrim, even though, like, something that was really interesting about Skyrim is that instead of going into the dungeons because it was a quest, just going into the dungeons.
Oh yeah,
you were just like, hey, screw it, I'm gonna go into this dungeon, and then all of a sudden you're like, I fought Draugrs and did all this other crap, and I found this.
Where it's just like, I explored Snowy Mounds, I'm like, ooh, a dungeon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it wasn't about, like, oh, well, I have to go get this book. It was just like, hey, look, a cave.
No, open...
Fine.
I was gonna change a bit, but I was saying open world can be strengthened, not by necessarily making your own Well, it is part of making your own experience, but it can also be strengthened by just giving you less information. I think my problem with Far Cry 3 is when you did the simple task of, like, jumping 5 platforms, it's like, boom, half the map's revealed. It's like, whoa, and here's 2 new weapons, the most powerful in the game, no need for money, and it gave you everything for such a small price of, like, you don't even have to think to figure it out. It's like, here is rope, jump here, hit E. It's like, okay, and then Morrowind. Morrowind gives you nothing.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a strong world with shitty graphics, all because it gives you nothing. If you just talk to, like, if the game was like, here, you get off the boat, talk to the prison warden, and he's like, alright, here's all the map on your map, here's your objective, here's where to go, here's here to talk to, here's some weapons and armor, the game would have been crap. I wouldn't have played it.
And even to, like, for the, like, the discussion on Morrowind, like, I don't know, like, that game has, like, a lot of depth, and, like, it doesn't, like, limit you. Like, it would say, like, oh, man, there's this, like, wall in my way, like, a really big wall, let's say, and, like, you could be like, okay, I could either fight my way through it, like, because, you know, there's a gate over there, or, like, if I'm a mage, I can use a levitation spell, and if I'm not a mage, well, I can probably go, like, get some, like, grind some souls or something, and, like, put a levitation spell on a ring if I have a chance.
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say grind some souls? Or do you mean soul gems?
Get some soul gems, I mean.
Okay,
and
are you talking about Dark Souls?
No, but, like, and then, like, make an enchantment ring to, like, just go over the wall anyway, and, like, or, like, fucking get your, like, acrobatics, like, super high up, and do the same thing, but just with a different skill set. And, like, just, like, provide options with a player to, like, further explore. Not just be like, oh, yeah, you can just walk there, or you can walk there, you can ride your horse there.
Yeah,
like,
you can pay someone to walk you there.
Like, you can ride your horse.
Well, that would be interesting in Morrowind, since you pay someone to walk you there, because it would be, like, paying for a guide. Even in Stalker, they added that option to follow people, and even that, like, that made me feel more safe.
In Morrowind or Oblivion, did they have, a cart you could pay that would take you to the, like, various places?
Oblivion, you could fast travel if you knew the location. Okay. Same with, like, Fallout 3.
But, yeah.
Morrowind, there is... Morrowind, you could take the... Oh, God.
The Siltstriders?
Yeah,
and
Siltstriders.
There's also teleportation gates and the Mage's Guild. You could pay someone to, like...
And you could probably make a teleportation spell, right?
I think so, yeah.
Something like... But there are ways to do it.
Huh.
It wasn't just, like, I click here on my game map.
Well, no, but, like, I mean, in Skyrim you can fast travel, and then something else that was really weird I didn't find out until about my, like, second or third time, like, starting a new character. You could go to some of the major cities, and there was a guy with a horse cart.
Yeah, you could pay
him. And you could pay him to take you to another main city.
But he would take you to places you haven't discovered yet. That's the cool thing. That's why you use him. But I think from all this, especially what we said about Morrowind and... some other game, I fucking forget. Far Cry, probably.
Yeah, Far Cry, yeah, somewhere.
But is that a good open world gives you choice? A shitty open world funnels you in when it feels like it needs to direct you.
Well, and something else that I think has been going wrong for a while now is the progression of Ubisoft open world games.
Mm.
Yeah.
You mean the formula...
The tower formula?
The formalization and annualization of open world.
Well,
and
so
naturally, when it first started, Assassin's Creed 2 was a cool open world, and it still is, when you don't think about the 5 other games that use the same formula.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is, I remember I was listening to a podcast somewhere, and they said that if you compare Assassin's Creed 1 to Unity, the amount of, like, stuff on the map, the amount of, like, icons and stuff you can, like, interact with, or, like, collectibles.
Yeah, so you can't go 2 feet without
finding
something.
Yeah, and it had increased, like, tenfold, to where in, like, Assassin's Creed 1, you'd find, like, 2 or 3 in a general area, and then in Unity, you'd find, like, 10 within, like, 2 minutes of walking into a place. So, like, it's a lot of, like, we don't know what to fill our world with, here are a bunch of collectibles.
Good art.
And yeah,
God forbid, why don't you put good art in there?
Well, like, Unity does look good. It just can't run on anything.
Yeah, but with all those collectibles and HUD icons, it doesn't look that great.
Yeah.
Like, those flashing chests, like, really?
That really immerses me.
That's what's cool about the Fox Engine, is Kojima specifically stated, is that we made the engine easy so that our art directors could use it. Like, our artists, and it shows, like, someone went in, he's like, alright, randomly generate desert. And it just generated the desert, and then he left-clicked with, like, a tool, and he dragged it up, and it made a tree. And then he plays the grass around the area by drawing. Like, it's the easiest thing.
So we just, like, you just, like, touch things, and it, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, like, he uses his mouse, of course, but, like, you literally just, you just touch and drag. It's for an artist to, like, experiment with and just design.
Well, yeah, because an artist is, like, if an artist wants to create grass, they don't, like, especially in a game, like, on a canvas, it's different. But in a game, like, if you want to create grass, you don't want to have to go in and draw every single blade of grass.
Of course not.
Right. You want to be able to just kind of be, like, okay, grass, and like,
like
a sweep of a
as
brush.
A foundation.
Yeah, a sweep of a brush will create like grass, and that'll be good. But yeah, like, especially with Ground Zeroes and MGS5, it looks very minimal. And a lot of it, minimal in the sense that, like,
minimal effort?
No, minimal in the sense that it's a very minimalist.
There's not a lot of shit on your screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, of course. Same with, like, you could say that about. Wait, what does that relate to, exactly?
Well, like, in comparison to Unity. Unity is, like,
this
cluttered
mess.
Yeah,
there's less
stuff
shit
everywhere
on your HUD, and so it looks better. Same with Dark Souls. Dark Souls learned that. Let's put a health bar, and then your inventory, when you're walking around, disappears. And if you really look at that game, there's a lot of work to the art. Like, you walk into a castle, and you look up, and it's like, here's your castle. Your boss fight is over there. And that's just from an art perspective. It's just amazing.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, looking at Unity and what it's done wrong, and looking at Far Cry, not even Far Cry, Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4 in some ways, but not a whole lot.
You say Far Cry 2 if you want to use a good one.
Well, no, but in comparison to Unity.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like,
Far
it's
Cry 3.
It's still kind of increasing in that, like, cluttered,
cluttered
HUD in some ways.
Far Cry 3 did have a shit ton of HUD. Far Cry 2 didn't have any HUD. Like, it didn't have any HUD until you used it.
Yeah.
It's like falling into that trap, I guess, of, like, look at all these things you can press E on, like, on the map.
Well,
like,
it's like, it's a way to, like,
kind of, like, make you explore.
Yeah.
Like, in Far Cry 3, like, if there was no, like, box of, like, I don't know, shark teeth or something, like, in that, like, abandoned World War II cave or something, like, I probably wouldn't go in, like, yeah, so what, there's snakes in there?
Yeah.
I don't want to fight snakes.
Yeah, like,
so, like,
part of the reason that Far Cry 3 fails in a lot of ways is because, like you said, it makes you explore.
Yeah.
There is no, like, oh, hey, a cave, I wonder what's in there.
But there are good ways to make people do things and shitty ways. Like, putting, like, a generic collectible in an area, I will say, fuck that collectible. I don't want it.
Yeah.
If you give me a unique gun or a unique item, like, something I can use, that's cool. What are you talking about?
Skyrim.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's what it does.
Yeah,
that's
no,
why you
okay.
want to go into a
no,
dungeon.
No, I think, like, a good way to incentivize people is, like, for the longest time when I had Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, because I fucking love it, I'm going to talk about it every fucking day, I played it, and it's like, I got to the final bonus level, or, like, it didn't even show up originally on the level selection, the cruise liner, and I was like, well, I don't feel like doing these objectives, they won't unlock another map. I was wrong. If you do all the objectives and get gold on every single mission, it unlocks a new character, and that new character doesn't have any save data. And so you're like, wait, it's a secret character. Like, the first one you unlock is Darth Maul. And you're like, what the fuck? Darth Maul's in this game? And you're like, wait, what if I do it with him? And then you get Wolverine, and you're like, what? And you keep doing it, because it's like, what will come next? It's like, boom, new level, boom, new character. And you're like, and then I've done like 5 runs of the same missions.
Huh.
Because it's good incentive. I don't know what's ahead, and I'm not going to look it up.
That's really weird.
And it's something I can actually use. It's not just like, here's some concept art, bro. Like what Mirror's Edge did with those fucking bags. That's not a good way to incentivize people.
Some people like concept art.
Yeah, I like concept art. I'm
like
not going to go out of my way to fucking collect it.
Yeah.
Well, like, a lot of people, like, I've noticed that, like, there are a lot of people who are completionists that just want to, like, part of the thing about doing an open world game is just, like, completing everything and getting all the collectibles, and then it's, like,
yeah,
sometime,
well,
yeah.
I mean, to get back to the point, like, I guess what we were alluding to is, like, having, like, a good open world is, like, incentive to, like, actually, like, go to places. Like, if, like, Skyrim, like, was filled with dungeons that, like, didn't really have anything interesting at the end, it was like, oh, it's just another, like, zombie, like, gauntlet, yeah. essentially. Like, why would I, like, bother? But, like, yeah. since, like, I can, like, find new enemies, I can find new weapons, I can, like, get a new spell or something, or, like, maybe meet someone interesting with more dialogue options. Like, yeah, I want to go into
the
cave.
Oh, even Red Dead Redemption did that. The Stranger missions, like, there's one that you could never, like, pick and just do. It would just, the Stranger missions would happen to you. And my favorite one was, what was it called? It was, like, getting lost in the mountains or something like that. And every time you go back to the main city in the beginning, the first act, Armadillo, there would be someone who's crying in front of the sheriffs or somewhere about someone getting lost in the mountains. And it happens 4 times. And you do it, and you're just interested to see why are these people dying? Because you can't, it doesn't say you complete the mission. And you finally get to it, and you see what's up there, and it's a cannibal eating people. And I never would have expected that in Red Dead. I'm like, what the... Oh, okay, sure. And I was like, wait, what's the next Stranger mission going to be? And it was this dude on a cliff in Mexico. He's like, I'm going to fly this hang glider, bro. Give me some armadillos and, like, some feathers. And, like, you just get to the end. And it's like, oh, he fell and died. Surprise. And it's like, I really wanted to see what happened, so I would do that. And it sounded like good narrative or just humor.
Yeah, so it has some kind of way to incentivize the player into either getting some sort of physical reward they can use or getting some piece of narrative that is actually relevant or is actually engaging.
Entertaining. Yeah. yeah. Engaging. Like, Dishonored also did both. Dishonored, there was outside, I think, the first mission after you get your mask. It's like, there's these people... Fuck, what's that mission? Yeah, it was that mission where you go to assassinate the dude in his, like, dining hall. But if you go there and you go out, you can see this guard and a guard who's off-duty, interrogating a woman, and, like, the off-duty guard is trying to defend her. If you help the guy and the girl and kill the guard, they will give you, not only is that an engaging and interesting piece of narrative with the world, but they also give you a reward. I think it's like a rune.
Yeah.
Well, but, like, the thing about Dishonored is it had to be linear. For reasons that they needed to direct the player.
Sure.
Yeah. It was wide enough to where the player could do what they wanted with the area, but it had to direct the player into...
But it still had interesting incentives, like, to do both at the same time.
But, like Dishonored is a weird example because it combines a lot of elements of open world and then...
I'm so good. Like,
It's probably one of the better linear games because it doesn't feel linear.
MGS3. It feels linear. Like, if you want to talk about better, let's not get on that. That takes forever. Better linear games.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
everything that's not Call of Duty after World at War.
Like, anyway.
Yeah, sort of.
Like, are you trying to say, like, why linear games, like, work? I mean, even though they're linear, like, by convention, you'd think, oh, yeah, the more choices I
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Like, because I've noticed in modern times but a lot of developers have come to using open world as kind of a buzzword.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like, it's going to be open world. And everybody's like, woo, open world. Just because that means, like, they can explore it on their own pace and enjoy it for its own content. But linear games can present a form of story and engagement
in
open world.
In fact, I'd make the case that, like, linear games are usually always the stronger of the, like,
stronger emotion. When it comes to narrative.
Yeah, like giving you an experience. I mean, like, not like... Because, like, you can find plenty of experiences in an open world, but, like, you get, like, a very concise, planned out...
Like, Dishonored was very directed, and it is technically linear, but because of that, it was able to be very directed, and it also gave you this really good narrative because of that.
Yeah, even some of the most earliest games, like Mega Man and Castlevania... Like, you felt a connection to those characters in some way. It was very...
I say the first Legend of Zelda is a better example. You felt a connection to Link because you had a map that you filled out. And so you'd go around and, like, oh, I found this ring. Oh, now I can take on this one dungeon. Oh, I could go gamble. I could go get new items. And so you felt a connection to Link because he was, like, an embodiment of yourself in this strange world. Because all of his choices were your own.
Well, the first Legend of Zelda is technically open world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to...
In terms of,
like
linear experiences,
games.
Like Castlevania. Like, it's
exactly.
a very, like, okay, like, this is the segment where you practice, like, these kind of, like, set of moves. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you look at Mega Man X. I'm trying to say, like, the linear games have, like, they were some of the first games to be developed because there wasn't this capacity for open world games.
Sure.
So they had to develop narratives based around a character. So if you look at Mega Man X,
well, like,
it wasn't like it, well, it's not like a narrative, but like a gameplay narrative. Like, yeah. First off, you like, oh yeah, I'm like fighting like zombie witches or something. But like at the end of the game, like I have to jump, throw axes, and fucking fight this knight while moving forward all at the same time.
I didn't
time.
Feel like, a connection to Simon.
No, but you feel you.
But like you,
you like you, from a narrative, from a gameplay narrative standpoint, you're trying to achieve some of the same goals he is. Maybe not for the same exact reasons, but, like, you're still trying to, like, take part in that, in a way.
I guess.
What do you mean?
Like, it seems like you're making an arbitrary excuse, or linear games. Like, linear games, you feel connected to the character because you are playing as a character. I think that's kind
of Well, that's
crap.
Part of it.
I mean, like... crap. If I was playing a piece of cardboard, I wouldn't feel a connection to the cardboard trying to get out of the rain.
What about I Am Bread?
I don't feel a connection to the bread.
Do you, though?
No, I don't.
Really?
No.
But you're supposed to feel like a piece of bread.
Wait, what the fuck does it feel
we'll
like?
We'll show you that later after the podcast.
But anyway, like, it's just this idea, like, you may not feel connected
to the
character,
I guess, it depends on how good the journey is, and I think Castlevania 1's a shitty example. Castlevania 2, even though it's a shitty game, I feel a bigger connection to Simon, because I went through a bunch of bullshit.
Wait, are you talking about, like, narrative, or just gameplay?
You're talking about your experience and your relation to a character through your journeys and troubles?
Well, are you talking just, like, about, like, simply, like, it's a game of just, like, direct inputs that have outputs that let you get past obstacles? Like, and it's linear because, like, there's, like, a, like, it's all player skill. Like, there is no, like, avatar for like Simon doesn't get better
like Pong
over time. Like, it's like literally you like, yeah, I control the jumping, I control the whipping, let's do this shit
kinda. I'm just saying it's like it's linear in a design sense. It's meant to be like in a lot of ways like Mario is linear, and that's the same as kind of like how Castlevania is linear. Like, you're meant to go through it in a very
so your
set
point
sort
is
of
that
way.
Because you and this character are funneled into this existence where you have to reach the end goal, you feel connected to the character because you
well,
have
and I
to
feel
be
that
next
like
them.
I think Castlevania isn't a good example. I prefer to go back to the Mega Man
X.
Yeah, Mega Man X is a good example.
Okay,
because like you go through it and you start to go through it, or you sorry. You begin it, you go through the tutorial level, and then you get beaten down by Vile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's, like, them setting it up as, like he's about to kill you, and then Zero comes in and saves you. And it's setting it up, like, you want to defeat this guy, and you want to look like, and you want to become, you want to defeat Vile, and you want to become X.
Yes.
Essentially. So, in that sense, you
want to become Zero.
Yeah, sorry. You want to become Zero. So, in that sense, you are being put into the same shoes as Zero, or as X. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that sense, like, that sort of, like, linear progression is meaning to funnel you, both your goals in the game and X's goals in the game, into the same fluidity.
But that has to, like, do with, like, just, like, good game mechanics and, like, storytelling, not really, like, oh yeah, because it's a linear game, like, that, or, like,
well, I feel
like it's, like, the whole, like, causation.
There was a lot of narrative in Mega Man X, believe it or not. Yeah.
Like, you're saying, like, it's a game about growth, and in the game you do grow a lot, you keep getting abilities over, like, your time playing, but, like, I feel like that just has to do more with, like, the connection between, like, mechanics and story, instead of, like, it's linear, so that must mean that it, like, the connection between story and gameplay.
Well, but that should, like, it's generally, like, a good, like, it's an example of how, like...
But that's for storytelling, not because it's linear. You can do that in an open-world game, too. An open-world game, it puts you into a mission, and then you, no matter what, you lose that mission. And then you still feel, like, it could use the same setup, but
true.
It's open-world, so it doesn't relate to linear games.
Like, in Far Cry 2, like, you literally are the person that you are playing. Like, there is no, like... Like, other than, like, moments, I guess, with the Jackal. But, like, even then, like, you are, like, disempowered at that point, so you can do anything anyway. Like you are that person, so all the actions you do in that game is that person, and that person is you. And that's open world, so, I mean...
Same with Shadow of the Colossus. It kind of uses the same narrative, where it's, like, the choices you make fuck you up. But that was open world. It wasn't linear game.
So what do you guys think makes a good linear game?
Good direction.
Yeah, like, it has to be able, like...
If you're gonna make it linear, make a reason for it to be linear. Either you made a shit ton of textures and you couldn't handle an open world with that much fidelity and prettiness,
or
but that doesn't like that doesn't define like that's only a reason for making like, the game linear.
Yes,
a linear,
give me a reason for your game to be linear. That's what makes it good.
A linear game has to be well directed. Like it, look at I guess the like the first like area in the first Mario game. Like that level like is entirely like made to like show you how to like play the game. Like if you like analyze it, like the reason they put that pipe there is to like make you jump and like you know like basically like if you were like you just like didn't know what a video game was and you like picked it up like you'd understand like how Mario works and like how the jumps work and shit and like that like well direction then translates into like using all of those mechanics to design an experience for
or
a
hell
person.
Make a linear game. L.A. Noire was linear as all hell because they wanted to tell a specific story. They didn't want you to tell your own story, and that's fine. I'm totally cool with that. Make a linear game because of that reason. Don't make a linear game because I don't know. It just felt like making a linear game.
But in some way, you have to relate to Cole Phelps then.
Yes.
Yeah. You can like relate to someone without like them
sure,
being
I
like,
relate
completely different.
But that's because of storytelling, not because it's linear.
Okay. So
but
then
I'm
why make a game linear?
To
tell
make
a story.
Direct the experience, and you don't want to give if you don't want to give your players choice. It sounds bad to not want to give your players choice, but there could be reason. For example, L.A. Noire. You don't want the player to change the story of L.A. Noire. It's very well crafted, well written. The dialogue's perfect, and all of it fits.
But the
fits into one way. If the player can move one piece out of the puzzle, it'd seem weird, and it wouldn't fit because you made that piece, and you're not a writer. You weren't hired by Rockstar.
I mean, but like, so would you say a good linear game is a game with either a well-crafted story and a direction with no, like, super big player choice? And is it also, like, and, like, or it doesn't have arbitrary choices?
Well, I mean, you, like, there is also, like, the illusion of choice. Like, I can, like, feel like I, like, my decisions in, like, the first Mass Effect game, like...
I feel the illusion of choice is bullshit and should not exist.
What do you mean?
The Walking Dead has the illusion of choice.
Well, the Walking Dead video game.
Well, yeah, the Walking Dead video game by Telltale
like
has
when like,
the illusion of choice. It's like, you killed this guy and your team, and it's like, that really didn't change anything except for two dialogue scenes, like two lines of dialogue. That's the illusion of choice, and I hate the illusion of choice. Why give it to me if it's not going to matter?
Well, that's because it was a shitty illusion to begin with, and, like, if it's a shitty illusion, then it shouldn't be in there at all.
Well, don't get me wrong. If no one was able to talk to other people about the experience they had in The Walking Dead, you would not be able to tell that it was an illusion.
It's true, but, like, even then, like, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, I thought of an example, like,
like...
Well, good linear game gives you... It has to be... That's all it is. Well-directed. That's it. Just well-directed. They wanted to do something very specific, and they couldn't have an open world, because an open world is... An open world is an ideal, like... Not an ideal. What the hell am I looking for?
Like a philosophy. Like
yeah, it's a philosophy...
It's a philosophy
of choice. That's what it is. And when you do... An open world game, you think, well, we have to give them choice, we have to let them be able to fuck with set pieces and be able to fuck with things on their own. And if we're making a well crafted story, we don't want them to do that.
Yeah. It's interesting, a lot of open world games, even though there's this, the whole choice, in a lot of them, there's kind of, you don't have full control.
Yeah, they're open world, that's the way to solve it, is that if you want your story to be. Your story that you wrote by the author or director, then what you want is open world, sure, but then when story parts need to become story and set in stone, you close the world and you funnel them into one choice where it's like, they're not going to give you the choice whether or not to kill the bad guy if they want their ending to be the bad guy died. They're just going to say, like, you can't choose not to kill the boss. You have to kill her. There's no choice there. You can delay it, but it doesn't do anything. The ending of the game has to be she's dead.
Yeah, the boss died.
And so, what they have to do is funnel it in for you. That seems like to be a solution, is taper it down when you want your story to be set in stone.
Yeah. I mean, even in Skyrim, it was like, you couldn't side with...
Yeah, you couldn't change the main story.
Yeah, it was just like, well, you have to kill him, and it's like...
Like, okay.
Alright.
But I mean, I think, like, even, like, open world, like, there has to be, like, some, like, allowances for, like... being able to tell a story in the first place. Like, oh yeah, I get it, like, there is a bad guy that we can definitively call the bad guy and that I have to defeat. Like, there's nothing
wrong
with that.
No, there isn't. But that's, there's no problem with that.
Yeah, it's just, it's the part of, like, it's going, like, I mean, a lot of open world games, it's not fully open world. Neither in a lot of linear games is it fully linear.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, like, if a game was fully linear, you might
just
too
special.
Well, like,
a movie.
If a game was fully linear, it would literally be a rhythm game. But there's, like, still, like, in a rhythm game, there's, like, challenge and
well,
shit.
Well, but in a fully, like, linear game, you might as well be watching a movie.
Yeah.
There's a spectrum, and nothing ever hits both ideals.
Yeah. It's always somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're playing, it's more or less to one side.
Even, like, I don't know, like, Gunpoint was, like, kind of linear when you think about it. But it was still, like, fun as all
hell. Gave you choice.
Yeah. Like,
well, some of them didn't really.
I mean, like, it, like, story-wise, it led to different things, but, like, just in level design, like, yeah, like, you basically had to do the same thing as everyone else, but it was still fun to figure it out. Like,
yeah.
There's just challenge and execution.
In puzzle games that are obviously linear, because there is only one option, usually.
Yeah.
And, like, in a strict puzzle game, there's usually only one option for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that, in a way, is a form of really strong linearity.
Yeah.
But even in doing so, in, like, Gunpoint, the story itself, like, I don't know, Gunpoint is actually, it is very linear, because a lot of the levels don't give you more than one answer.
Yeah, this is what I was disappointed with when I was looking back at it. I was like, that was fun, but sometimes
it's
I tried to
story.
Do it.
It's
I tried
directed,
to do
it. It's very...
But the missions aren't. Like, you don't need to be like, oh, what's-his-face, Conway, entered through this window at this point, at this, like, they're not going to bring that up. Let me do the mission how I want to. And it's like, no, one answer, bro. Only one way to do it.
But creating a puzzle...
Creating a multifaceted puzzle, I'm pretty sure you can do it. It's called Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, sneaky games are a really good example of multifaceted
puzzles.
Well, I mean, because, like, there's just a lot more elements involved.
I
mean, like, even in a game like Gunpoint, like, if you just, like, don't do a puzzle...
Once you get the ability to kick open... Like, they give you choices later on.
Yeah.
They give you a gun. They give you the ability to kick open doors.
Like, even then, like, if you, like, messed up in Gunpoint, there was still, like, some, like, you could do some finagling to, like, kind of, like, get back on track.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, here is just a strict series of execution challenges. Like, no, like, you can still, like, mess up. But that's, like, still, like, why would I... I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird conundrum because you can't, like we said, you can't call a game specifically linear or specifically open world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like...
You can just use linear and open world to decide...
Yeah.
To define which side of the spectrum it takes more akin to.
Yeah, and, well, a lot of the time, when you refer to a game as linear, you say, like, the linearity of it, because it's a descriptive word rather than
it's an adjective rather than a noun.
Linear elements to the experience. But, other, like, you can still, like, yeah, I want to make this a sniping mission, or, like, I want to go through this door instead of that door kind
of
thing. Like,
I think Call of Duty is probably, the campaigns of Call of Duty are probably some of the most, like, progressively becoming, like, literally the most linear thing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ever since, I mean, what,
Modern
Warfare 2? Yeah. You have, like, the snow mission, the sneaking mission, the sniping mission, then you have, like, various other, like, mission archetypes that present, a linear story, and all they do is just kind of move the missions around to present the story in a different way.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, come on.
There's not much choice in each mission type. It's usually, like, the choices are very binary and very, like, basic.
What was the...
It's like you either snipe the dude or you don't snipe the dude.
Black Ops 2 was interesting.
Black Ops 2 gave you more than binary choices, but they were still small, and I wish there were more.
Well, because
my favorite one is when it's like the girl's getting kidnapped, and you can actually fail, and the guy will get away, but you can't tell. You think it's a normal mission, and it's like, he got away, mission failed. That one mission, you can fuck up. If every mission was like that, that would be cool. If every mission had a branch.
Well, yeah, like, that sounds like something that's somewhat easy to do until you get later down the line, but...
Well, because
you
think
have to
about
design, like,
everything.
A shit ton of, like,
yeah, well, like, you have to, like, at first you're like, well, okay, the one mission branches, and then you're like, okay, now we have two, and then you have four.
Well, it sort of grows exponentially.
But you can eventually make them come back together.
Yeah,
and,
like eventually
narrow your results, sure.
Well, because, like, you have to have somewhat of a fail state at some point.
I'm trying to think a game that doesn't have a fail state, and I can't think of one.
Not necessarily, like, a fail state, but, like, I don't, like, I mean, maybe you could just do, like, two distinctly different missions. Like, if you failed everything, and then if you got everything right.
Yeah, and then in between. That's, you guys never played, because it's a shit game. Shadow the Hedgehog had 12 different endings, and it shows you after every level, here are the missions. And it said, here are the 12 different endings you can get. Here are the branches to each one. And each mission had a separate objective for good and bad. And so you could be all the way bad to the end, do a good mission, get the less bad ending. And so it constantly gave you branches to work off of, and at every point you could branch into something else.
It's weird how, like, an open world game is much easier to define than a linear game.
I mean, that's just because, like, you have this, like, industry stereotype, and, like, yeah, choices, video game, choice, and, like a linear game, by definition, goes against that stereotype.
That's true, because if you're playing a linear game, you might as well be watching a movie.
But yeah, but that's not the case.
Beyond, like, Two Souls.
You can make a linear game
the hype
a really good game.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not even, like, oh, yeah, Dishonored's linear, that was really good. Like, oh, you can, like, make it a really linear experience, like Mega Man or Castlevania, and it'd still be fun, just on, like, a different level.
Yeah. Because, like, no game can technically be fully linear as long as there's player interaction.
Yeah.
Because the player will do something different with what they're presented with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Just define it with linear as an adjective. And
linearity.
Yeah. Not a noun.
Non-linearity.
Open.
World.
No, just open.
Oh, okay.
A jar.
Open-ended. It's quite open.
It's quite open-ended.
And closed. God. I don't know. I think that about wraps it up, really.
Yeah. If you guys could throw one thing into the open world space, or fix one thing about it, what do you think it would be?
Give me some faults with it.
What?
Okay, no, I got one. It'd be really hard to do. It's not nearly impossible, but, like, at every story point, minor or major, let me make a choice of either one or two. Just at least one or two. Like, I want to see what MGS3 turned out to be. Of course, it would be impossible because sequels.
Yeah.
But what would MGS3 be like if I didn't kill the boss? Like, what would that ending be like? Or if I didn't... Or what happens when you trank all the bosses? The game counts them as dead at the end. But if it really had choices, like, would they all come back and be... Like, kill me?
It could be like Peace Walker.
Would they
style.
All be? Yeah, like would they all be
yeah,
friends?
Like,
yeah,
join you in friendship.
Remote? No. Okay. Really interesting. Open world. Always give me a choice, and then the sequel will be two separate games, depending on what your choices were in the last one.
Oh, sure.
So it could be like I played Mass Effect 2. It took place within this galaxy. Like, and the other person's like, that's weird. I took place on the other
end. Mass Effect would technically have to have three.
Well, no, I'm saying, for example, like, Mass Effect, a game, you take left branch, and you fail everything, you fuck up, and then a sequel comes out, and it starts out as you fucking up, and then you completely go, and you fuck up the rest, because every mission's different because of your last thing.
Huh.
Entirely weird. Different missions, and then if you took the other route in the first game, it would change your second game. Like, I want two games in one, and I want that game that I play in that disc to be dependent on the last save data I had.
Oh, well.
Nobody has done that, and I really want it.
Dragon Age Inquisition kind of did that.
Still,
nobody wants to play Dragon Age 2, so you can't really, like, move it to Dragon Age Inquisition. So, Jeremy?
I don't know. Maybe just
more horses.
More horses.
I want wheels.
I would like more ways to travel from mission to mission. Just for the hell of it. I like more like elements to actually just like sort of like understand that the player at some point is just, or like somebody out there is just gonna want to derail something, and like. Maybe at some point, like, yeah, you can derail, like, completely just, like, turn around and, like, shoot the president right after you yeah. save him, and then, like, just, like, fucking change the entirety of the game. Like, and I want that to be, like, a secret, though. So, when you do actually find it, you're like,
yeah.
holy shit,
well,
and
like,
your mind is blown.
Well, like, those moments where, like, in your FPS game where you're taken out to the shooting gallery.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you're told, like, okay, shoot those targets, and, like... something that everyone has done is turn to the guy that's instructing you and shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, that's something everyone has done.
Everyone will do that.
Or, like, AI that responds to weird player behavior, like, I forgot who was talking about it, but it's like, if you just start crouching behind enemies, sticking your face in their butt, like, I want them to go, like, why does my butt feel weird? Like, I want that. I want voices, like, dialogues for every possible situation. It's just, I want it.
Yeah, so, like, kind of, like, bridge, like the player's world of, like, having a controller in your hands and only being able to control, like, a select few things.
That would be the most immersive game if guys had, like, butt hitboxes, oh, and it's like, man, why you got your face in my butt? Just like in Red Dead, you go to the marshal near the end game, and you just start, like, shooting him in the foot, and if he actually responded, or if, like, if the mission wasn't just failed, and he was just like, ah, my foot, and you had to, like, drive him back to the hospital.
Yeah.
I think if there was one thing I would add, it would be
butt hitboxes or well-modeled horse
yes,
dicks.
Butt hitboxes.
Both.
Yes.
Realistic horse poop.
If I could probably do one thing, I would.
Cars. Anyway, continue.
I would try. I would probably try to have like some kind of element of like, even in dungeons, try to have like branching paths. Or like even
that,
like
yeah.
Maybe not have every dungeon have branching paths, but like make at least one or two dungeon like a catacomb. To
okay.
Where literally, like, it's this massive maze.
Bloodborne.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Bloodborne.
Bloodborne's going to have that in the random dungeon.
Yeah, that's right, the random dungeon generator. But just, like, a massive sort of maze thing to where
cool.
It would just be, like, the player's
a
choice.
Labyrinth.
Yeah,
yeah,
a labyrinth. And, oh, hey, look, a labyrinthia in Skyrim.
David Bowie just shows up. Oh, God.
But, yeah, just, like, having the ability to take your own way in a dungeon would just be the best.
Oh, something else. Like, I want, like, dungeons and, like, Skyrim to, like, connect and shit. Like, sort of like a Metroidvania. Just for, like, the hell of it. Like they kind of did that with the claw thing, but it didn't work out so well.
Well, connected in terms of, like, a mechanic, but
well, I mean, like, not, like, connected, like, oh, I can go there, but, like, you can, like, get clued in on, like, other places, like, I don't know. Like, you like, basically,
like...
you
find drawings in Dungeon 1, those drawings relate to a puzzle in Dungeon 3.
Yeah, like, basically, like, just world-building things, just to be like, oh, yeah, the Draugr were actually, like, an organized society of people before they, you know, turned into zombies, but...
That's true. Should wrap this up. I gotta take a pee.
Alright, well, guys, it was a good episode, and we'll see you later.
Yeah.
I'm Adam.
I'm gonna go pee now. Okay.
I'm Adam. That's Jacob.
I'm Jeremy.
We'll see you later.